118, take time to be holy. Take time to be holy, speak up with thy Lord, abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Abiding in Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. This morning we are going to talk just a little bit about the idea based in take time to be holy. The song was written in England in the 1800s by a man named William Dunn Longstaff. The inspiration for the song came in the hearing of a sermon that was based on holiness. The verse that is underneath your song title there, 1 Peter 1:16, is also the one that is referenced in his story about the one who wrote this for the foundation. 1 Peter 1:16. Peter 1:16, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You wouldn't think it, but sometimes New Testament Christians have a hard time with that. Surely God wouldn't expect me to be on such a high, pious point and expect me to be perfect. Well, the idea of holiness is being set apart in the manner of being useful for God and His use. Sanctification, being cleaned, and being able to be a vessel that is holy and useful to God, being separate from what is common and not so holy. The idea of holiness is something we do see in the Old Testament, and it does carry over into the New Testament. We'll look at a few verses concerning that. Let's start in Leviticus 11. Leviticus 11, beginning in verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Sounds somewhat like what Peter just said there, doesn't it? So Peter is just reiterating the same thing that God told the children of Israel in the wilderness when bringing them into a new land. He pull them out of Egypt to be useful as his people, and he told them to be holy as he is holy. So the idea is way back there, and once again, Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord God, am holy. Leviticus 20. Verse 7, Leviticus 20, verse 7. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And verse 20. Don't think that's the verse I wanted. Verse 26 of Leviticus 20. And you shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord, I am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. Once again, Leviticus 21. Verse 8. Therefore you shall consecrate him, for he offers bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I am the Lord who sanctify you and am holy. I believe he's talking to the priests, about the priests there, but it also carries over to the New Testament for those of us who have been sanctified and cleansed in the blood of Christ. As I said, every now and then you may run into those who have obeyed the faith for whatever reason, have a hard time finding it to believe that God has actually called us to holiness, just as he has, as we've seen in the Old Testament. But it does carry over, even more so, because we are cleansed not with, as we see in the Old Testament, the cleansings that happen with the sacrifices of the bulls and the calves and those that were designated for as God designated with those who were of the Jewish faith. But as I said, even more now, because we're sanctified with blood and cleansed in the blood of Christ. So it should not be a stretch to even imagine that we would not be asked to be holy, just as God is holy. And Peter reminds us of that in that verse. In the song, and this is going to be hard for me to keep going back and forth, so I did write some of this down, but in the first verse, the writer says, "Speak oft with thy Lord, abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek." And along with that, let's go with some verses I looked at in the New Testament here. I think that I'm forgetting to go to according to holiness. Once again in 1 Peter. Just happened to see a line here on my note paper that I just went right past. So anyhow, concerning holiness in the New Testament, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, once again. "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because as it is written, behold, be holy, for I am holy." Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourselves himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith." Once again in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. "Also, as living stones are being built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ." And in verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." who were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So, as we look at those verses concerning the New Testament, there are the same ideas carried over, that we have been set apart, sanctified, and God expects holiness. And in this particular verse, which is probably the most heaviest and straightforward, because he says that we're to pursue peace with all people and also holiness. And if we have it not, we will not be able to see the Lord. So holiness should be very important to us. It should not be something that we take lightly. And that's a big part of what this song should remind us of. The Old Testament verses that we've looked at, and also the New Testament verses that carry over. As I said, even so much more, because we're sanctified with a blood that's more precious than what they used in the Old Testament. The writer of the song says to speak up with the Lord. Colossians 4:2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. First Thessalonians 5. I have that verse in my head, but I'm skipping. 17. Thank you, Don. There in 16, going into 17. Thank you, Don. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. The idea there is that we should always be looking towards the Lord and always talking to him. Philippians 4, 6, 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says to abide with him always and feed on his word. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. To abide in Jesus is to abide in his word. Not only when we speak with him and we're focused on talking to him, but also listening on our side. And that's by looking at what he has to say through the scriptures. It says that if we're doing this through scriptures, that it is profitable for us, that we can know the doctrine, that we can reproof, that we can correct, and that we can be fully equipped to be that holy vessel that God asks us to be. God doesn't make us holy. When you're baptized, it's not something that it's just applied to you, and you don't have to think about it. You have to want to live it. We're new creatures in Christ, and we're just like the new plant that's sprouting. We have to be watered and fed. And it's the Word of God that does that. I didn't approach beginning with the very first part of the verse, but it's reiterated in every verse. And it starts off, take time to be holy. If we want to be holy, and we're willing to, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort on our part. And that should be what we remember when we sing the first part of that. It's on us. We have to take the time and effort. And if we do, then God's word will be applied to our lives. It'll help us grow, just as that plant takes time to grow. So we will, in our holiness. He says to make friends with God's children. And I've got a couple verses here. Romans chapter 12 once again. Beginning in verse 9, Romans 12, beginning in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging and diligent, fervent in spirit and serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given hospitality. The idea there is not only just spending time together, but loving one another, working together, being driven to want to do so. He says to do it without hypocrisy, coming together fervent in spirit and in service. And there's two places we can do that. Obviously, the one is here. We do it when we come together. So when we make an effort to come to service and we sing songs like we did this morning, we look at God's Word, and just spending time together on a Sunday and a Wednesday, we do that in love. And we help one another to do these things. It says, through kindly affection. And in serving the Lord, it says. So, keep that in mind. Hebrews chapter 10. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 10, beginning, let's say, verse 22. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, if we look at the context of that, you know, some people may focus on the assembling of our, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, and just concentrate on that. But if we look at the context, the blessings are in coming together. When you forsake the assembling of yourselves together at any time, especially worship, you're missing the blessings as far as what he says. You're confessing together the faith that you have. You stir up love between one another. And you're doing good works together. And he says you do this so much more as you know the day. The great day is coming. Together, you're preparing not only yourselves, but you're helping everyone else to do so also. So that's the blessing of coming together. So it's even more than just making friends with God's children. It's being one with God's children. Help those who are weak. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Once again, we'll start in verse 14 this time. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, make your whole spirit, soul, body, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do this. So we see that we're exhorted to do these things to the weak, to the faint-hearted, and all. But if we're continuing to do all these things together, it's going to strengthen not only us as individuals, but continue to help those who are in the church around us. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. As far as a verse, I wasn't sure what to go with that, but I'd say this much as far as forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. I think the forgetting in nothing is that the basis of why we're here. The basis of why we're here is because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood, and he made it possible that we could be washed and be sanctified and cleansed and be that holy vessel that God requires before him. And all the blessings that come with it, we're not to forget. So there's so much more than just considering being holy. There's a lot that goes into it. And it begins with why we're here. Because God sent his only begotten Son to be that sacrifice required for our sins. So if we're laying that as our foundation for thanks, then everything else should just fall into place. Once again, if you go into the next verse, and I didn't so much want to go verse by verse, so if you don't see that I'm doing that, and it's kind of built that way, because the song is not meant to be dissected verse by verse. It's meant to encourage and remind. So I didn't want to dig into it too much, but we will go a little bit more along the lines of looking at verse by verse with the second one. But beginning once again with the second verse, take time to be holy. Once again, are you applying the effort? Is what he begins with. Take time to be holy. Just don't think about it. Do it. Take the time. So if you're doing that, you're doing what the world isn't doing. You're already set apart by this. He says the world rushes on, and that's self-explanatory. They're not concerned with what's going on with God and what God expects of you. But if you're focused on God, then he says take time to be holy. He reminds us that. He said the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. And we cover that from the aspect of praying, from studying. And the other part of that is, of course, being with your brethren. But the alone part is, what are we doing? We have opportunity. Are we going to prayer? Are we studying? Feeding on his word, just like the previous verse said. Abiding in Jesus, like him, thou shalt be. And we'll look at some verses for that part. 1 John. We'll go to 1 John for this one. First John chapter 2. Verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. First Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 11, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For it is to this that you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. In Acts chapter 4, we find that a man was healed, and those who were against the preaching of the gospel early there, when they seen what had been done, it caught their attention. But more than that, when they looked at Peter and John, it says that they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, and they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. I think the thing that stands out with everything we see through Acts, aside from what we see the apostles doing with miracles, is how they conducted themselves. We're told that they were recognized, the way they lived their lives, the things that they said. Their conduct set them apart from that world that was around them, and people were drawn to it. People were certainly mystified by it because they weren't like everybody else. So when we're doing all these things and becoming holy, people are going to recognize it, and they're going to do it because they're going to understand that you are a follower of Jesus. It's going to stand out. Thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. And we always say, when people look at us, what do they see? They should see a living Bible. They should see the gospel in process. They should be drawn to ask, why are you this way? Why are you different? It's because you're following Jesus. You're walking in his steps. As I said, we won't go on through the whole song dissecting it, but at this point you should already be considering, when you look at this song, that holiness is important. So, yes, we should be taking time. And the third verse starts again, take time to be holy, before he starts on with another thought, which is, be calm in thy soul. And you should be reminded of what Paul already said in the verse we looked at. Be anxious for nothing. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by the Spirit, the fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. So that's why we do the things we do together. We're doing it as individuals, and we do it together because, Lord willing, if we've stayed faithful, we'll be doing it also in heaven. So this is just the beginning. This is the setting up for a greater thing. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse 12. Paul writes, not that I have attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to it apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in my example, and note those who also walk, as you have us as a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you, and often now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is in their belly, and whose God is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that we may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working which he is able, even to be subdue all things, even to himself. So not only are we being fitted spiritually, but the lowly body we have now will be transformed in a time to come. Colossians chapter 3. So, looking at that last verse, do you consider what he said, being fitted for service above? Now let's look at Colossians chapter 3. If I go in the right direction here. Yeah, my fingers are a little bright this morning. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, and not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, because these things of the wrath of God is coming upon you, the sons. Because these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with these deeds, his deeds, and have put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all in all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But all these things put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which you were called in one body and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So, as we're reminded there, if we are raised with Christ, we should be working on these things. The beginning of part of the context of this, he says, the old man did such and such. He gives a list of things. And the world who rushes on, they're still doing these. He says, and you did these. Instead of doing this list of things that he says, and just a small part of it, like verse 8, the anger, the wrath, malice, the blasphemy, your filthy language. Instead of doing these things, you want to be holy? It's possible. These are choices that we make, want to do these things. But he says the opposite side. Here, apply these instead. He takes things like verse 12. He says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. He says, just in forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you, you also do so. So, I believe David used this and others have. He empties the cup halfway, but he fills it back up with something even better, doesn't he? Sure, we have to take things out of our lives to be holy. We have to take time to be holy. But when we do so, we see a better picture of what God wants us to be. So when we sing that song, hopefully next time we'll consider other things. And the good thing about songs is that I particularly didn't want to go verse by verse and dissect it, because I think the writer had a certain thing for himself that he knew he had to do, and he was inspired to write it. But in writing it, when it was put to music, we can consider such things as we looked at this morning, and we know what we need to apply to our lives with things we need to take away. So when we're taking our time to be holy, what are we doing to consider it? That is my lesson this morning, and hopefully you were edified and encouraged. If you need help doing something to correct in your life in the steps of holiness, let us know, and we'll pray for you. And edification, and continue to encourage one another as we come together and even as we're apart, hold one another and continue to remember and remind each other that let us be holy, just as God is holy. Thank you.